Join me for Radio 3 in Concert. Live this Tuesday evening at 7:30 on Radio 3 and BBC Sounds.
This is Radio 3, and now it's 4 o'clock and time for Music Planet with Lopa Katari. Welcome to a very special edition of Music Planet with me, Lopa Katari. Because today, this man, Bill Affleck, is in the driving seat. Was Strider from the Grammy award-winning album My Bluegrass Heart, the man behind the album, none other than, dare I say it, the king of banjo, Bill Affleck, and he is my guest on Music Planet, driving the music choices today. My role, to find the stories behind them and counter with my own tunes. Not so much a battle of the DJs, or rather a bit of playful sparring. Bela, welcome. And first of all, a huge congratulations on My Bluegrass Heart. You must be delighted.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience to put out your first bluegrass album in, I don't know, 20, 30 years and have it go so well. And the best part is playing with all these great musicians and getting to go out and play that music again. It's just so much fun.
And by my count, that's about 16, 17 Grammys in all. I mean, are they doorstoppers in your house, or are they all gracing a brand new, beautiful, expanded glass cabinet?
No, they're sort of scattered and hidden in nooks and crannies out of the way. But the best thing about a Grammy is the box it comes in, which is like a foam that's molded to the Grammy.
Oh.
And everybody that we know wants those boxes when, you know, when we get we're lucky enough to win a Grammy.
Bela, I love that the opening track that we just played, Strider. And it's got a kind of Indian raga thing going on, or is it actually based on an Indian rag?
Actually, I have listened to enough Indian music that it certainly has influenced me. But when I was writing it, I was playing with these tuners. I don't know if you know about this, but Earl Scruggs, the guy who really started the three-finger bluegrass banjo style, he did these songs where he would tune his tuning pegs while he's playing the song, in the mid-song, and make music out of that tuning. So being me and it being many, many years later, I'm doing the same thing with three different tuners on the strings, and I can change the pitches as I'm playing. So when you hear all those bends, that's me reaching down and turning the pegs. They're called Scruggs tuners. Once I started thinking about what I could do differently with those tuners, what harmonic possibilities there might be using three tuners and dropping the G down to F, the B up to C, and the D up to E flat, it gave me several interesting keys to play in once I got there, and bending sounds that evoke that Indian feeling.
Well, Bela, you've picked five tracks for us today, including our classic artist, which is going to be Joni Mitchell. So let's crack on with your first choice. 12 Weeks at Sea from Tony Trischka. Who was and is Tony Trischka to you, and why this song?
Yeah, well, Tony was my banjo teacher and the most progressive guy around when I came onto the scene, and still a remarkably unusual player in his 70s. And so this was, I believe, his first solo album, and he had been in a band called Country Cooking that made some nice records, and the guys that he played with were always kind of crazy New Yorkers, and they were very influenced by modern jazz and the music of the 60s, and it all found its way into their kind of bluegrass, which I would say was, you know, maybe no one has equaled in progressive open-mindedness in all this time. This is a tune that he wrote, and it's got a great band on it playing, including Andy Statman on mandolin. It's just a very evocative tune and a neat way of using the bluegrass instruments to make a really beautiful tune tell a story.
Thank you. Well, it really is a tune that is the sound of good times. It's just so much fun and so much energy. I didn't realise that Tony Trischka had been your banjo teacher, because he's also a guest on your latest album, isn't he?
He is, and typically, you know, one banjo is usually enough, but I just really wanted to have him on the record, and he had never played on any of my records, although I think I've guested on his once or twice.
Well, there's a lot of strings on that 12 Weeks at Sea track, so I've picked some strings for you to listen to from my collection. And for me, one person that really does say strings more than anybody else is Debashish Bhattacharya. Have you come across Debashish Bhattacharya before?
You know, I've heard the name. I'd like you to refresh me. I'd love to hear it.
He's this, obviously he's an Indian classical musician who's taken the Hawaiian guitar. He was really taken by Hawaiian guitar. And he's kind of adapted it for Indian classical music. Let me play you a little bit of the track that I've chosen, which is called Kirwani 1/5 and 8/5. And it's from his 2013 album called Beyond the Ragasphere. Debashish Bhattacharya, who's taken, I think of him a bit like a musician like yourself, you know, said that he's brought a whole new world to his instrument, and he's brought his instrument to a whole new world. And it's very much like what you've done with the banjo, because you're not just bluegrass or country? I mean, you've brought jazz, you've brought rock, you've brought so many other influences.
Yeah, this sounds great. I loved hearing it. I'm a big fan of V.M. Bhatt, who does the Indian raga type slide guitar playing, and I got to record with him some years ago. I guess we'd say Jerry Douglas is the guy who plays an instrument the most like that here in the United States, plays the dobro. And it is, you know, essentially the same kind of instrument. It's played with a slide. And when you think about what someone does when they play only with a slide, well, we thought Django Reinhardt was pretty cool, and he could only play with two fingers. But a guy that plays with a slide is basically doing everything with one finger. So everything you hear is this slide being moved around at great speed around the instrument. And sometimes we don't realize how hard that has got to be.
But, you know, Bella, I don't think I've ever asked you how you actually got into the banjo.
Yeah, well, it was a television show called The Beverly Hillbillies. And the person who played the banjo on that track was Earl Scruggs, who is the guy who, as I said, he essentially started three-finger banjo playing. And there's something about Earl Scruggs that when you hear Earl Scruggs, if you're going to be a banjo player, he activates you. And for me, it was exactly like that. And almost every top banjo player, professional banjo player I talked to tells me when they heard Earl Scruggs for the first time. They can tell you where they were, they can tell you how it impacted them, and they can tell you that immediately after that they had to find a banjo and learn how to play it.
Well, next up, Bill, I'm going to play the track that you've chosen from Chick Corea and his band Return to Forever. This is Spain. Why did you choose this song?
Well, I think I just, you know, told you how Earl Scruggs had this incredible impact on me for no particular reason that I can understand. And the same thing happened to me in my jazz appreciation class after a couple of years after I'd started playing the banjo, when my teacher, Justin DiCiocio, put on this track. And I thought, you know, I'd always found jazz interesting, but a lot of it was very loungy, you know, and sort of sleepy. And so I couldn't really see a role for myself in it until I heard this. And I heard this, I heard Chick's keyboard. For one thing, he played with a lot of very tight rhythm. You listen to the way his solo comes in. It's just like the voice of God, the way he comes in and outlines the rhythms with these kind of, I don't know, you think about keyboard players, they can play all over the piano. They've got so much at their disposal, but Chick always leaves his space and plays as a percussionist. The harmonic side of it all just struck me. This could be done on the banjo. This is a way I could learn to play and be part of some kind of a jazz ensemble. It just hit me that the second it started, and it started a love affair with his music that I've had ever since. And as years went by, I think it was the very next year I got to see him for the first time at the Beacon Theater with Return to Forever, and it blew my mind, and I would say it was the template for me wanting to start the Flectones. Thank you.
Chick Corea and Spain from his album Light as a Feather. Again, Bela, a pick from the 70s. I mean, you've spoken about Scraggs as your influence and Chick Corea. I mean, that is a pretty broad spectrum of music. What else were you into?
You know, sometimes you have music that you just love because it reaches you, it touches you. Like we're going to talk about Joni Mitchell. I loved the Beatles, you know, growing up and watching them from the first record to seeing them change and waiting for the new thing to come out. You know, I remember the period when, you know, even Ravi Shankar became a part of modern culture. It was a great time for music when I was kind of coming into my teens. So much going on in the jazz world, Mahavishnu Orchestra, Chick Corea, Weather Report. Because for some people, like, jazz fusion got a bad name, but I mean, it had to have been after those first three bands that essentially started, because those bands were just great. And they really brought something, just the way Earl Scruggs and Bill Monroe brought something new to the folk music of their day.
But keeping with the jazz, I really got into jazz actually when I was in India, of all places. And I was working with this American jazz guitarist, and he, you know, a bit like you're saying, the kind of jazz that I'd listened to, I liked some of it, but it was all kind of hard to understand, or else it was just something you went up and down in the elevator with. And he kind of gave me this key to unraveling its mysteries and its complexities. So I really got into Coltrane and Miles Davis and Sonny Rollins and Ferris Sanders, and I mean, so many more, that I thought, okay, I'm going to pick a Coltrane track for you. But actually, it's done by a Ghanaian saxophonist called Jiddu Blay Ambole. I don't know if you've come across him, but man, he is a cool crooner, and it's his version of Love Supreme.
Oh yeah, Ipa. We know what time it is. All right, bro. That's how we do it back home in Ghana, West Africa.
cover of Love Supreme there for you.
That's fun. Boy, it sounds like a time capsule. Like when the way it starts, I feel like I'm back in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I mean, it really. And he's when you see him, he's a bit of a throwback to the 60s and the 70s. You are a prolific collaborator, Bela. What is it about working with such disparate musicians that excites you?
Oh, gosh. I think one of the biggest things for me is I have a curiosity about music. And when people are playing things that I really like and I don't know how to do, I just want to get closer. And the closest I can get is right next to them.
So we're going to play A Ndia from Umu Sangare and her debut album, Musulu. And that was her album that kind of catapulted her onto the world stage. Am I right in saying that you did a version of this with Umu?
I did.
So what is it about Umu Sangare? And how did the conversation come up between you and Umu about maybe doing your own version of it?
Well, the way the whole thing started for me was just very much how Earl Scruggs and Chick Corea started for me, which I heard something that made me stop. And I had to stop and wait for the piece to be over before I could function. And I guess I have these strong reactions to certain things, and maybe it's a, you know, some kind of instinct that I'm going to play with this person, but that would be rather presumptuous for me to think that. But at any rate, it is what has happened. And so with Umu, I was finishing a Flecktones show. I got on the tour bus and I heard this music emanating from the back room. And I was like, what is that? That is so classic and great. And I don't know how it works, and I want to know more, and it's so evocative. And it was my friend Jeff Coffin, who's a saxophone player who was playing with the Flecktones at that time, and he said, oh, it's Umu Sangare, check it out. And we sat and listened to the whole thing, and I just thought, gosh, I'd love to be in the middle of that room. I'd love to be sitting next to those people, figuring out, you know, finding a way to play along with that. And I felt there was a real connection to bluegrass music and folk music in America when I listened to it. It was like so clear, so acoustic, so groovy, her singing, holy cow. You know, it's just great music. Thank you.
Umu Sangare and Dia from her debut album Musulu. But anyway, Bela, let's make our way back to the banjo and its roots. I have got a Baseku Kuyate track for you from his album Bar Power, which I think was very much a result of him looking into the connections of the Ngoni and those instruments of Africa brought over with the African slaves to America. And I think he wanted to make that connection with the banjo and with some of the other stringed instruments that we're familiar with. Let me play a little bit of it for you. It's this one's called Fama Magni.
A guy like Baseku, you hear him and you go, how is he getting so much out of so little, such a small instrument, such a small range, and he's just figured out how to just really just tear it up. He's an amazing talent. I made a film in Africa called Throw Down Your Heart, where I collaborated with a lot of different folks there, and I learned a lot, and I got up close to it, you know, this music that was so mysterious and beautiful and yet seemed accessible to me and the banjo. I don't believe, although the Ngoni is from a family of instruments that the banjo came from, I don't believe it was directly the Ngoni that came over. I think it was because I don't think the slaves came from that far. I don't think they came from Mali. At least that's what they told me when I was there. So I think it was more likely instruments like the akanting, which is currently a lot of people think that that's the instrument which comes from the Gambia. But, you know, it would have been a pile of instruments. Slaves that were taken from West Africa would play instruments like these or make them when they got to the, you know, over to the Americas.
Yeah. Baseku Kuyate and Ngoni Ba, and a track there called Fama Magni from the album Bar Power. You're listening to me, Lopa Katari, and my guest, the multi-award-winning Bela Fleck, who is, to all intents and purposes, in the driving seat for this special edition of Music Planet. Bela and I have been trading tracks and chatting about the music we love. You can find full details of all the music on BBC Sounds. For the next bit of music, though, we're heading over to Ireland and a tune that Bela has chosen. This is The Bell Table from Stockton's Wing. Bela, not a group or a song I've actually heard before. Who are Stockton's Wing?
Well, Stockton's Wing would be, you know, one of the progressives of the 80s, a progressive Irish band of the 80s that mixed the tunes, all the great tunes, with drums and electric bass and electrified their instruments so they could fill up a room, like a large room, and rock the house, you know, and get people dancing in a different way than you can do when the instruments are acoustic. But they're great acoustic players too. They're great Irish players. So this would have been, I'm thinking it would be maybe, you know, mid-80s. I was in a relationship with a great Irish singer who I'd heard at concerts when her band Dedannan was traveling through the States, a woman named Maura O'Connell. And because of knowing Maura and being friends with her, I went over to Ireland and spent December and January for several years. And what would she do? She would take me to hear the great musicians of the time, and she thought I'd be interested in Stockton's Wing, which were from her area in Clare. And we also went to see Movin' Hearts, and we got to hang out with Paul Brady and all these fantastic, incredible, top of the scene Irish players. But these were the guys that I would hang out with when I was with Maura and we were in Clare, and sit around in pubs and try to learn the Irish tunes from the guys in this band. And I love them, and hearing them live. And this tune was on one of their records. I just loved it because I like the way it changes. It starts out and you think you know what it is. It's so beautiful, but then all of a sudden it's this jig, and then it comes back so beautifully. It's just a great, great track.
Thank you.
Bela, I'm keenly aware that the clock is ticking, so I'm going to follow Stockton's wing with Mercedes Sosa. I don't know if you've heard of her or heard of her music, but there will always be a Mercedes Sosa song on my list of all-time favourites. She was this extraordinary voice that was all about heartstrings and the heart, and it gave voice to revolution and identity. And in a sense, you know, a lot of the music you've been playing and that you've chosen for us today and that we've been talking about is music of communities and of life and of country and of revolution. So I want to share this track with you, which is Mercedes Sosa and a song called Polleritas, which was recorded at a concert of hers live in Argentina back in 1982.
Oh,
Mercedes Sosa and Polleritas from her album Live in Argentina 1982. The audience as much a part of it as Sosa herself. And for me, I mean, you could just feel that power, that fighting spirit, almost like a wave hitting her audience. And she was an absolute just a heroine for me, a brilliant songstress. Bella, you have brought banjo and its bluegrass heart into jazz and classical music and rock. Have the Latin American countries influenced your music at all?
Oh, yeah. And probably starting with Chick and then working my way into people like Paco de Lucia, great flamenco guitarist. But yeah, I love Latin music of all kinds. I got to go record with a bunch of folks in Venezuela from all over South America. And there's just a lot that can communicate with banjo technique and ideas from Latin music.
Well, from one legend, not yourself, Bill, I'm referring to Mercedes Sosa, who we've just played, to another. Our classic artist this week, chosen by you, is, well, of course, it's a name known all over the world, Joni Mitchell. Why have you chosen her? I mean, did you ever, or have you ever played with her? And you must have seen her live, right?
No, I have never got to see her live in person. But here's the story with Joni Mitchell. I think this was even before I got my first banjo, but my stepfather, Joe Palladino, got me a birthday present one year. And he, you know, he's a musician. And he said, oh, this is, I've heard this is a very good record. And so I've gotten this for you for your birthday. He hadn't listened to it himself. Heard it was a very good record. And this was in the summer in New York City. You don't stay in the city. You got to get out of the city. So at that time, we went out to Long Island for this one summer, and me and my mom were in this little A-frame out past, I think it's Amagansett, Long Island, way out on the end, and spent the summer kind of on the beach, just living out there. And I took this record out there, and it's called Blue. And I think you know this album. Everybody knows this album now. But so we put on side A, and it was one of these record players that repeated. You know, once it finished, it just came back and started over. And so for all of July, we listened to side A. And then when we got to August, we turned it over and listened to side B. And it just always stuck with me as just some of the, it was just great music to have on. And this record has been a lifesaver a number of times, including, you know, when one of our kids was very sick in the hospital and we had a night where we had kind of had to hold him down. And we played this. This was the record we put on and just listened to, and it just soothed everybody. It just put everybody into a space. And it's I put my kids to bed with it. I've come back to it over and over again. It's just one of the most classic musical experiences. And, you know, aside from banjo, I mean, I keep wondering why I don't just learn all these songs on the banjo, because they're in my head. But whether I ever do or not, they impact all the music that I play. Blue, the album Blue and the album Court and Spark just changed me completely and made me care about different things than, you know, just the technical side of music.
Oh, what a beautiful way to end our chat, Bella. I have loved spending the afternoon with you. Thanks for rifling through your record collection for us and letting us into your musical head. And again, huge congratulations on yet another Grammy.
Thank you, Lopa. I loved hearing your musical choices too, and I'm going to go get them and check them out and get to know them better. But thank you. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
The last time I saw Richard was Detroit in 68, and he told me all romantics meet the same fate someday. Cynical and drunk and boring someone in some dark cafe. You laugh, he said, you think you're immune. Go look at your eyes, they're full of moon. You like roses and kisses and pretty men to tell you all those pretty lies, pretty lies. When you're gonna realize that thank you. put a quarter in the Wurlitzer, and he pushed three buttons and the thing began to whir. And a barmaid came by in fishnet stockings and a bow tie, and she said, "Drink up now, it's getting on time to close." "Richard, you haven't really changed," I said. "It's just that now you're romanticizing some pain that's in your head. You got tombs in your eyes, but the songs you punched are dreaming. Listen, they sing love so sweet, love so sweet. When you gonna get yourself back on your feet? Oh, love can be so sweet. Richard got married to a figure skater, and he bought her a dishwasher and a coffee percolator, and he drinks at home now most nights with a TV on and all the house lights left up bright. "I'm gonna blow this damn candle out. I don't want nobody coming over to my table. I've got nothing to talk to anybody about. All good dreamers pass this way someday. Hiding behind bottles in dark cafes, only a dark cocoon before I get my gorgeous wings and fly away. Only a face, these dark cafe days."
The Last Time I Saw Richard from Joni Mitchell's classic album Blue, the choice of Bela Fleck, Lopa Kattari's guest today on Music Planet. Next week at the same time, Catherine Tickell will have a session from Japanese band Ok. This is Radio 3. It's time for J to Z and a second chance to hear a programme first broadcast in the spring.
Welcome, I'm Jamoke Fashola, and on the show today I'm joined by the fantastic bassist Daniel Casimir and his band playing live in the J to Z studio. Guys, over to you.
You say that time moves slowly when I'm not with you. I'm not surprised I can't show love like how you do. You say that time moves slowly when I'm not with you. I'm not surprised I can't show love.